Who you are, whoever you really are, matters most before God, because he knows you really well. So in the end, it doesn't matter what your friends think. It doesn't matter what your parents think. It doesn't matter what your kids think. It doesn't matter what your spouse thinks. It does not matter what your pastor thinks. What matters is what God thinks.
Many of us know the phrase, practice what you preach. That's especially important for believers if we want to be effective ambassadors for Jesus. Connect with Skip Heitzig today as he shares what it really means for you to live a sincere and honorable life before the Lord. Before we begin, here's an eye-opening resource that gives you insight into how marriage and the family all began.
Ever walk into a movie late? You may never catch up on the plot. Well, same's true of the Bible. Miss the opening book and you'll have questions all the way through.
Genesis is the foundation. It's the ground floor. If we don't understand the book of Genesis, we won't understand what follows the book of Genesis.
That's Skip Heitzig reminding that our redemption through Jesus' death and resurrection starts in the book of Genesis.
God says to Satan, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. It's a promise of the Redeemer. It's the seed plot of the rest of the Bible.
Rediscover the foundation of your faith. In Skip Heitzig's book, you can understand the book of Genesis. Our gift to you when you give $35 or more today to help keep this ministry on the air. Request your copy when you give online securely at connectwithskip.com/offer. Or you can call 800-922-1888. That's 800-922-1888.
Okay, let's get into today's teaching. We're in Romans chapter 2 as we begin our study with Skip Heitzig.
Jesus told his followers, you and me were his followers besides his disciples. He said, you are the light of the world. You're the light of the world. You're the light of the world. You are the light of the world. A city set upon a hill cannot be hid. So let your light shine among men that people will see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. So we too have the right business even more so. That's why Christians who never witness are like kids playing with flashlights, you know, and they shine the light of the flashlight in each other's eyes. They're just going, hey, man, my flashlight's brighter than yours. Oh, man. It's like, okay, I'm glad you're having fun, but the purpose of a flashlight is to lead people out of darkness, make it useful. So sometimes we love to get together and have our events and have our parties and hoot it up and celebrate. That's good, but we got to take the light where the light really counts and be an exporter of truth to enlighten those who are unenlightened. So that's their assets, right background, right book, right business. Now let's turn and consider the next thing the auditor does is give the list of deficits, what they did wrong. Now, I don't know if you're like me, but I love vinyl records. Probably not a lot of you do. I love vinyl records. I still play records on a record player. Some of you don't even know what I'm talking about. I'm using a language you're not familiar with. But let me just tell you a little bit about vinyl records for just a moment. In the day, bands would put out records. And often a record would sell just because of a song or two on the A side. But there was always the B side. And you listen to it because you're devoted to the group or the singer you're listening to. But when you flip it over, play the B side, you go, I can see why it's on the B side. And see why they don't start with those songs. Right? So you buy it all and you got to flip it over. So Paul plays the A side. Said, you're good at this, you're good at that, you got this. But now let me flip the side. Here's the B side. And there's a list of deficits. They have the wrong practice, the wrong prominence. I'll explain that. And the wrong perspective. That's what's wrong. Those are the deficits in this audit. Let's look at the wrong practice. Verse 21. You, therefore, who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that a man should not steal, do you steal? You who say do not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who make your boast in the law, do you dishonor God through breaking the law? You get the drift. They had the right background. They had the right book. Problem, they didn't do it. They didn't practice what they preached. In theological terms, we would say they had orthodoxy without orthopraxy. They had right beliefs without having the right behavior to match the beliefs. It would be like a policeman who loves to write speeding tickets, but when he's in his own vehicle, he breaks the speed laws. Or like a fireman who, here's the true story, fireman in San Jose, California, arrested because he was burning trash in the backyard, illegal to do in the state of California. Fire got out of control, burned 100 acres. The irony is that that man, Luke Goodrich, was the fire chief of the city of San Jose, California, when that happened. Or it's like the medical student that I read about. He said he was a doctor, but he was a third-year medical student. So he had the profession of being a doctor, but he had the practice of a third-year medical student. It caught up with him. He misprescribed things, wrong procedures, got him into trouble, and he was arrested. So Paul is giving a spiritual spreadsheet. You got the right profession, you got the wrong practice. There's a church in Germany, Lübeck, Germany. It's a cathedral, Lutheran cathedral. In fact, it's on the most important historic city sites in Lübeck. And as you enter into this cathedral, there is an engraving I wanted to read to you. Imagine walking into church and reading this. Thus speaketh Christ our Lord to us. You call me master and obey me not. You call me light, but you see me not. You call me the way, but you walk me not. You call me the life, but you live me not. You call me wise, but you follow me not. You call me fair, but you love me not. You call me eternal, yet you seek me not. You call me noble, but you serve me not. You call me gracious, but you trust me not. You call me might, but you honor me not. You call me just, but you fear me not. And so if I condemn you, then blame me not. Ouch, right? I feel that ouch when I read passages in the Bible. You ever get that? So there's a passage in Luke. I love it and I hate it. I love it because Jesus said it and it's true. I hate it because it's true. He said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do what I say? It's a good question. Very basic question to ask any disciple, any follower. Why do you say Lord? Good saying, but you don't do what I say. You know, I've come to believe that Jesus has a lot of fans, but not as many followers as you might think. Oh, we like him in a Facebook kind of a way. We follow him in an Instagram kind of a way. But following him with the practice that matches the profession, not always. So that's in their deficit column, wrong practice. Second, because of that, wrong prominence. They were known for the wrong thing. They had the wrong reputation. Verse 24. For, notice the quotes after the word. So he's referring back to an Old Testament passage, a few of them actually, but summing it up. For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you, as it is written. I'll loosely translate that. A hypocrite gives God a bad name. A hypocrite gives God a black eye. The context here, he's talking to the Jewish person. For a Jew to live differently than he preaches would make a non-Jew, a Gentile, dismiss the claims of the Jew. Why should I proselytize into your religion and be a part of this culture when you live this way differently than what you speak? That's the context in that verse. So he's quoting the Old Testament passage. Now, this sounds very similar, you'll recognize this, to when Nathan the prophet went to David, who had committed adultery with Bathsheba and didn't confess it. Nathan came in, pointed his prophet finger at him, poked him in the chest and said, "You're the guy. You sinned before God." So David cries, confesses his sins. Nathan the prophet said to him, The Lord also has put away your sin and you will not die. But because of this, listen to this, because of this, you have given great occasion for the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. David, you're the head of God's people, and you did this. So enemies of God will point the finger and say, look at that guy. And they will blaspheme because of what you did. When a believer falls into sin, his witness is ruined, and God's name is sullied. And the world will then justifiably ridicule us. They will think or say, you always tell me to repent. Why should I? You didn't. So that's what I mean by the wrong prominence. You're being known for the wrong thing. So you have the wrong practice, which brings the wrong prominence, and it's all because of a third deficit. It's all because of a wrong perspective. Here's the crux of it, verse 25. For circumcision, I'll get to that in a moment, for circumcision is indeed profitable, valuable, of good gain, if you keep the law. But if you're a breaker of the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. It means nothing. Therefore, if an uncircumcised man keeps the righteous requirements of the law, will not his uncircumcision be counted as circumcision? And will not the physically uncircumcised, if he fulfills the law, judge you, who even with your written code and circumcision are a transgressor of the law? Okay, now circumcision was an outward sign of an inward change. An 8-day-old Jewish male was circumcised, cut away the foreskin of his flesh. It was a sign of commitment to God, sign of a covenant, an outward sign of an inward change. Here's the deal. The ritual circumcision pointed to a reality, the reality being I follow God. That's the reality. I'm a God follower. So if I'm a God follower, I signify that by a ritual. Here's the ritual. It points to the reality, I follow God. Now, if you have the ritual circumcision that points to the reality, I follow God, but you don't follow God, all you have is a empty ritual. Means nothing. Might as well not do it. There's no value in it. It's only valuable if you follow God. What happened is they began to view the ritual of circumcision as sort of a magic charm, an insurance policy, if you will, against God's wrath. In fact, some of the rabbis developed sayings about the ritual of circumcision. I want you to hear a couple of them. Number one, they said, and I quote, "Circumcised men do not descend into Gehenna." Gehenna is another word for hell. And a second saying, "Circumcision will deliver Israel from Gehenna." In other words, only thing you need to do to keep yourself out of hell is go through the ritual of circumcision. Just get that little thing done, you're good to go. That's all you have to do. So the ceremony became a substitute for obedience. They weren't following God. They had the ritual that said, I'm following God, but they weren't following God, just an empty ritual. Why do it? Empty, meaningless. That's the meaning of verse 25. For circumcision is indeed profitable if you keep the law, but if you're a breaker of the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. And this is why God, when he gave the law of circumcision in the Old Testament, he said in that same Old Testament, in the same Torah, Deuteronomy 10, here's God speaking, circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart and be stiff-necked no longer. I don't want just the ritual. I want the reality with the ritual. I want the heart in it. I want the spirit in it. I want you all in, not just going through the ritual. It's sort of like a ring. I have a wedding ring. You could put it this way. Your ring is honorable as long as you're faithful. But when you're unfaithful to your spouse, now it's just a piece of metal. Becomes meaningless. It loses its profit, its meaning. Wearing a ring doesn't make you married, but if you wear a ring, you assume someone is married, and in that assumption, you assume they're faithful in their marriage. But what's outward may not always be what's inward. And Paul differentiates between that in verse 28, for he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is the circumcision that which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and the circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter. In 1922, Howard Carter, a British archaeologist, made a discovery. There's one of the greatest discoveries archaeologically in history. He found the tomb of King Tut. You've seen pictures, or if you've been to the museums when it's been on parade, you've seen, some of you, the tomb of King Tut. Amazing. When they brought to him, or when he found that great burial case, the sarcophagus of King Tut, it was enormous. It was ornate stone and decorations, gold, gems. When they opened the lid of the sarcophagus, they found within it another casket. And it was gold leaf, I think over wood, I may be mistaken, but it was gold leaf hammered over this casket. They opened that one up. They found yet a third casket, this time of solid gold. Imagine that. That's on display in the museums. They opened that one and they found a gold robe of sorts wrapped around the body with that burial mask. That's that magnificent burial mask you've seen pictures of King Tut over that gold robe over his face. All of that. When they took the mask off, they took the robe off, you know what was under there? A leathery, withered, wrinkled, old, dead guy. But he sure looked good before they got down to that level. I think you get my drift. When we wear masks, that's what a hypocrite is, one who wears a mask. We can do a lot of things, smoke and mirrors, to look really great. But who we really are, there may not really be life under all that. And what Paul is writing about in regards to circumcision could certainly be said of baptism and being a Christian. If you go get baptized, but your heart isn't in it, you just got wet. Congratulations. I hope you're refreshed. That feel good? Towel off now. Had a good day. But it means nothing at all. Your baptism is useless unless your heart's in it. And so you could write, for he is not a Christian who is one outwardly, nor is that church membership or church attendance or baptism that which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Christian who is one inwardly. And this church membership, church attendance, baptism is that of the heart in the spirit and not in letter. So Paul, as the auditor, said assets, got a lot of good stuff going for you. Deficits, got the wrong practice. You're known for the wrong things. That's because you have the wrong perspective. For you, it's all outward, but there's death underneath. Now, let's close by looking at the last part of the last verse. This is the third, and that is the net appraisal. I'm going to read all of verse 29. Indulge me. But he is a Jew who is one outwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, not in the letter. Here it is. Whose praise... or you could translate that honor, whose praise or honor is not from men, but from God. The only one you need approval from for your life is the one who matters most. And that's God. In the end, he's the only one who judges according to truth, we're told the beginning part of this chapter. He sees it all, he knows it all, we covered that. In the end, he is either going to approve or disapprove of your life. So who you are, whoever you really are, matters most before God because he knows you really well. So in the end, it doesn't matter what your friends think. It doesn't matter what your parents think. It doesn't matter what your kids think. It doesn't matter what your spouse thinks. It does not matter what your pastor thinks. What matters is what God thinks. He's the one who's going to approve and honor and praise. It's a play on words, I think. Jew, Judah means praise. And so he ends with that thought, whose praise is not from men, but from God. I love how he ties that together. So, in summing up Romans 1 and 2 so far, Romans 1 says, no one is so bad that he can't be saved. Romans 2 says, no one is so good that he doesn't need to be saved. He's saying, all y'all, whether you're the raunchy crowd or the religious crowd or the self-righteous, hypocritical crowd, y'all need the same thing. Y'all need the same thing, and that is God's grace. So if you're making the right speech but missing the right stuff, you won't be approved. Think of the shock of so many people in the end of days standing before God at the great white throne judgment. First of all, shocked that they're even there. And Jesus said, many will say to me on that day, Lord, they know his title, did we not prophesy in your name? They worked for him. And in your name cast out demons and perform miracles. They did powerful things in his name. And I will say to them, I never knew you. Ouch. Depart from me, you who work iniquity. Lord, I don't know you. Who are you? But pivot from that thought and now think of the sheer joy for those who simply believed and trusted and followed from the heart. It was real to them. It wasn't a Sunday thing, put on the King Tut mask and look regal, but it was real. And God will audit them, and they'll pass with flying colors that audit, and God will honor them. In the end, that's all that counts. The final appraisal is before him. So one of my favorite stories is a group of musicians who used to travel Europe years ago, and things were getting hard. They would travel and they'd play in like little dinner clubs, you know. People would eat their dinner and they would sing and dance. But times were hard in Europe at the time, and less people were coming out to see them perform. They weren't buying their tickets. They weren't supporting them. And so one evening before their show, one very discouraged member of that group addressed the group and said, let's just quit. Let's stop. I mean, nobody's coming out to see us. They don't have the money to pay. And look outside, it's starting to snow. You think people are going to weather that to come see us? I doubt it. You may have two or three show up, but why even do this? Let's just stop. Let's quit. One of the older members of the group said, no, we made a commitment. We have a responsibility. Let's do it. If this is our last show, let's make it our best. So he encouraged them. And so they went out. One last show, and they did better than ever. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. Because when it was all done, and the people left, and the doors were closed, one of the young members of that musical group had a note in his hand. He was so excited. He goes, listen to this. And he opened it up before the others and said, here's what the note reads. Thank you for a beautiful performance. And it was signed, your king. The king, their king, had been traveling through that area and happened to be in that room that night to hear them and was delighted with their performance. And everybody else's ill opinion didn't matter at that moment. The king liked it. In the end, your king will sign off on your life as approved, praiseworthy, noble, honorable, or not. That's the net appraisal. So don't be whitewashed. Be washed white with the blood of Jesus Christ, his son.
That's Skip Heitzig with a message from the series Heart and Soul. Now, here's Skip to share how you can keep these messages going strong to connect more people to the gospel of Jesus.
The Bible tells us that God has put eternity in your heart. That is a longing that points you back to him. But you don't have to wait for heaven to draw near to him today. We want to equip listeners like you and help you connect to his truth. That's why we share these Bible teachings, and through your generosity today, you can help others come to know and experience God's truth as well. Here's how you can give a gift and help connect others to the Lord.
Visit connectwithskip.com/donate to give a gift. That's connectwithskip.com/donate. Or call 800-922-1888. 800-922-1888. Thank you for your generosity. And come back tomorrow as Skip Heitzig gives you practical wisdom and encouragement to help you put feet to your faith.
The Bible doesn't just change a life, it changes a lifestyle. However, not everybody exposed to the truth lives by the truth. In fact, some people hear the truth and they twist it.
Make a connection. Make a connection at the foot of the cross. Cast your burdens on His wound. Make a connection. Connection.
Connect with Skip Heitzig is a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.